The following is a class on Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 10, text number 9, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on May 23rd, 2009, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 9, chapter number 10, text number 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Machchita Madgata Prana Bodhayantak Parasparam Katayantashjaman Nityam Tashyanti Charamanti Cha Machchita Madgata Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam Katayantashjamam Nityam Tashyanti Charamanti Cha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Purport. Pure devotees, whose characteristics are mentioned here, engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing Him with other devotees. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself. And in the mature stage, they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in His abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. And there are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe. And out of them, there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and if it is sown in the heart of a living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And that seed fructifies, just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the Brahmajyoti effulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows and grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits, and the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. This plan of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Majjalila, chapter 19. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in the love of God. Then he cannot live for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord, just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in the contact of the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees, as stated in the Bhagavatam itself, 12.13.18. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. In this narration, there is nothing about material activities, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and his devotees is fully described. Thus, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Rata Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathan Vita Jiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha.
So, this is one of those really super fantastic verses. This is really a sweet verse. That's why I chose it for tonight's lecture. This verse talks about how enlivening it is to talk about Krishna. I Actually, there's nothing more enlivening than talking about Krishna. Why is that? Because Krishna is not ordinary. He's not a person like you or me. He's God. He's the source of all existence. By His desire, everything exists. This island, Mauritius, is floating in the Indian Ocean only because Krishna desires it. Without His desire, it's finished. We are totally dependent on Krishna for everything. All the planets exist, all the seasons, all the fruits, all the flowers, all the people. Everything is existing because of Krishna. He is all powerful. He is all beautiful. He is all renounced. He is all wealthy. He is all famous. And He is all knowing. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana vivishtani chabhutani mangtu vedana krishna. O Arjuna, as the Supreme Personality of God, I know everything that has happened in the past, all things that are happening in the present, all things that are yet to come. I also know all living entities. But me, nobody knows. See, only a few know Krishna. And they don't know Him fully. Because nobody can know Krishna fully. Do you know why? Because Krishna doesn't know Krishna fully. That's the amazing thing. Even Krishna doesn't know Krishna fully. You may say, how is that possible? Krishna is all-powerful. He knows everything. That's a fact, sarvajna. But Krishna's glories are expanding exponentially at every nanosecond. Exponential expansion of His glories at every second. So Krishna is always trying to expand His Krishna consciousness to keep up with His own ever-expanding glories, and He's always a little bit behind. Because every time He fully understands and realizes His own glories have expanded millions and billions of times beyond what He just realized. You understand? So even Krishna never becomes bored with Krishna consciousness. With His unlimited powers of cognizance, even He can never be satiated by becoming Krishna conscious enough. So, how much we can understand Krishna with our tiny brains. There's unlimited nectar awaiting us. Yes. It's unlimited nectar. And Krishna is willing to reveal everything. Yes. We simply have to qualify ourselves by pure devotion. That's all. I received a direct personal order from Srila Prabhupada. It's one of my favorite orders that he gave me. He told me this. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. You think he only wanted me to do that? No way. He wants every person in this movement to do that. I'm just an ordinary rank and file pot worship. You know. Tell me to become qualified to see Krishna face to face. I was also preaching on the campus and making devotees. And then washing pots. I wasn't a big name. He just told me, you know, you become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So that means every member of this movement is meant to become qualified to see Krishna face to face. And how will we do that? Machchita madgita prana bodhiyam puras. This verse is telling. You want to be qualified to see Krishna face to face? You have to show you're eager for His association. If you don't have an eagerness for His association, well, He's not going to waste His time with you. Be honest. How do you show you're eager for His association? By always talking about Krishna, by always hearing about Krishna, by always chanting Krishna, by always serving Krishna. You qualify yourself for the special mercy of Krishna by showing that you want his association, by always thinking about him and talking about him. You see. Do we have to wait until we're pure enough to see him face to face to taste the nectar? No. You get nectar from the very beginning. You may say, but according to Bhagavad Gita, you know, yattaragre vishamiva pariname matotam. Happiness in the mode of goodness is poison in the beginning. So how you can say bliss from the very beginning? This is transcendental. It is beyond even mode of goodness. If you take the Krishna consciousness with full enthusiasm, you will get nectar from the very beginning. The very first second, you will taste the nectar. You simply have to be serious to become Krishna's pure devotee. And then you will taste the nectar from the very beginning. You see. You relish the sweetest nectar from the very beginning. Sweeter than the sweetest honey. Everything about Krishna is sweet. His pastime, his form. Some people say, "Well, I don't want to study philosophy. I just want to study the pastime." Ever heard that one? Well, guess what? The philosophy is also the pastimes. Bhagavad Gita is the pastime of Krishna. So if one says, "Don't give me philosophy, just give me Leela," they don't know what they're talking about. Because all of these teachings of Krishna, they are Leela. Krishna's Leela is teaching this philosophy. That's part of his Leela. So by studying Krishna philosophy, you're studying Krishna Leela also. The Sahajas, they say, "We just want Krishna Leela. We don't want Krishna Pravachan. Just tell me about Krishna kissing the gopis, please. That's all I want to hear about." That is called rascalism. Sahajism is rascalism. They don't want to know how, they don't qualify themselves actually to go back to Godhead. They simply want to use Krishna as an excuse for their own sense gratification. "Well, he kisses beautiful young girls in the forests. I'm going to do it too." They don't understand. Krishna is the enjoyer. We are the servants. There's a difference. We are the enjoyers also, but secondary enjoyers. Our enjoyment is to give enjoyment to Krishna. See, that's our enjoyment. And Prabhupada explains that the devotee, when he gives enjoyment to Krishna, he enjoys equally with Krishna. And then Prabhupada even further explains the devotee enjoys more than Krishna. You may say, "How is that possible?" Well, Krishna is seeing his dearmost devotee, Srimati Radharani. He's amazed. He says, "What is this? I'm the supreme enjoyer. And this girl, she is serving me. She's getting more enjoyment out of serving me than I am getting by being served by her. What is this?" Krishna is not one to be defeated, okay? Krishna never wants to be defeated. He is ajita. He is unconquerable. So when he sees his devotee is enjoying more than him, he thinks, "Well, I'm not going to be defeated. I will also taste the pleasure of being my own devotee." So, Krishna, he sees this beautiful Gaurangi, this golden-limbed Radharani, Gaurangi or Radharani. And he thinks, "Yes, I will take her complexion, I will take her mood." He becomes Gauranga, to taste the pleasure of being his own devotee. Krishna joins the Bhakta program. Bhakta avatar. Krishna becomes a Hare Krishna. You see? In this material world, everybody wants to be cool, you know. Hip. Everybody wants to be cool. Well, the supreme cool person is God Himself. And He realizes the coolest thing is to be a Hare Krishna. So if you want to be cool, be a Hare Krishna. That's one lesson we can learn from Lord Chaitanya. If you become a Hare Krishna, then you're really cool. You're in the in crowd then. You see. The inner circle. The coolest thing to do is to be Hare Krishna. Everything else is really, you know, uncool thing, you know. If you really want to be cool, you just gotta be a Hare Krishna devotee, because God Himself becomes a Hare Krishna. So this verse, as I mentioned, tells us that there is immediate pleasure. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Ramanti means they enjoy, they relish. They swim in that ocean of bliss. Ramanti. Immediately, you see. And we give our ears to hear the Krishna Gita. Immediately we're swimming in that wonderful Krishna Gita ocean. So we simply have to immerse ourselves, dive deeper and deeper and deeper into this ocean of transcendental bliss. And then when Maya Devi comes knocking on our door to offer us illicit sex, to offer us meat eating, to offer us gambling, to offer us intoxication, we won't be interested. It's like Haridas Thakur, you see. That beautiful young prostitute, she came in the dead of night, begging Haridas for sex. No interest, you see. Because he's tasting millions and billions of times greater pleasure from this Harinam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Nobody has anything like this anywhere in the world. The rich people pay thousands and thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars for enjoyment. But there's no enjoyment there in their material sense, in gratification. Simply the illusion of enjoyment is there, but there's actually no real ananda there. It is nirananda, not ananda. Nirananda means no ananda, you see. But even without any expenditure of money, completely free of charge, gratis, this Hare Krishna mantra is given by Prabhupada, you see. I previously went to another guru when I was seeking spiritual enlightenment. I hadn't been out. I had not yet found Prabhupada. I went to one of these bogies and he charged me 1 month's rent for a mantra. I had to pay money to get initiated. It's like you pay money to, you know, to rent a hotel room or to go on an airplane. But I had to pay, there's a fee, initiation fee. Can you imagine? If you have the money, you can get initiated. The only qualification was money. That was the only qualification for diksha. Didn't matter if you're a meat eater, a woman hunter, a bank robber. It didn't matter what you were. If you had the initiation fee, you would get diksha. You could be the purest devotee in the world. If you didn't have the money, no diksha. Can you imagine what a standard this person had? Simply based, the only qualification for diksha was money. You have the money, you get diksha. If you don't have the money, get out. Such charlatans, so-called gurus, you see. So I took the equivalent of 1 month's rent and I paid for my diksha. And they gave me one mantra. And they told me to keep it secret. So I'm going to disobey their orders. Aing, 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 aing. That was the mantra. So I was hanging my way along, and I was trying to get my, you know, psychic airplane off the ground, you know. Hang. I just stayed on the runway. I couldn't get off the ground, but hang. But Hare Krishna mantra. If you dive into this mantra, very quickly you can get lift off, you see, from the modes of nature into the transcendental spiritual sky. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. You don't have to pay anything. See, this is bona fide guru. The bona fide spiritual master is not after your money. He just wants to steal what? He wants to steal all of your anxieties. He's an anxiety robber. He wants to go into your heart and steal all of your anxieties. You see, take them all away from your heart. It's very easy to find guru who wants to take your money in this Kali Yuga. There are a dime a dozen such gurus. But to find a guru who wants to can steal all the anxieties out of your heart, that is very rare. That is the bona fide spiritual master. So if we find such a bona fide spiritual master, we must surrender to him. That is the order of Krishna. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam ganina tatvadarshinah. And just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. How much service does Krishna want us to render? Just a little bit? Some token service? No. Give the whole life in service to the spiritual master. That's what it means to render service. Not just some little token service. Give the whole life in service. That is the real meaning of giving service. Such self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they are seeing the truth at every minute. You see. So in this way we can dive into this nectarian ocean of Krishna Katha and never have to come back again to that vicious cycle known as Karma Chakra. You understand that Karma Chakra? You know that Karma Chakra? The cycle of birth and death. If you surrender to Krishna, you will not take birth again in this material world. So, we're inviting everyone on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. We are inviting everyone to take very, very seriously this process of Krishna consciousness for going back to home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. So now I can ask if there are any questions. Speak loudly and clearly. I'm somewhat deaf, so yes. Loudly and clearly.
Okay. During the relationship with the devotee and the Lord, and when he engages in the service of the Lord, he experiences a pleasure potency, Lord, the devotee.
Yes.
But how can the devotee rob himself of being puffed up in the service that he is to the Lord?
Yes. Yeah, it's very, very important. Sometimes what happens is we make a little progress and we think, wow, now I'm an advanced devotee. Everybody should be seeing how advanced I am. You see? And then, so it's very, very, that pride is a very, very dangerous thing. It is said, pride cometh before the fall. So we have to be very careful how to stay humble. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has recommended. And if we follow strictly this order given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Shikshastaka, Sinadapi Sunichena, Tororapi Sahishnana, Amanina Manadhena, Kirtaniya Siddhahiri. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, considering himself lower than the straw in the street, being more tolerant than a tree, offering all respect to others without respecting any respect for himself. In such a state of mind, he can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So this is the key. Offer all respect to the other devotees and never expect any respect for ourselves. You see, that is the key. Should always be respectful, even if we disagree with other devotees sometimes. Even if we think they're wrong sometimes. We should respect them that that's their Krishna, that's their way of trying to be Krishna conscious. We have to respect every single devotee and never expect them to respect us. If you do that, you'll be okay. But if we think, well, Prabhu, I'm respecting you, why aren't you respecting me? I'm not going to respect you if you don't respect me. See, now you're making a business deal, a condition. Vaishnava seva is without condition. It's like Krishna seva is unconditional, Vaishnava seva is also unconditional. If I say, well, I'll respect you if you respect me, no. A devotee gives respect even if he doesn't get any respect back. And actually, such a devotee, he becomes the most respected. That person who does not expect any respect, he becomes the most respected person, actually. But that person is always demanding respect. He's not very much respected. So if you want respect, you should know how to get it. By not wanting it and just giving it. Not demanding it, you see. As a preacher, we want to be respected because it'll help our preaching. That's natural. But one should understand how to be respected by never demanding respect from anyone and just always giving respect to everyone. That's the key. Does that answer your question? Any other questions? So everybody knows all the answers? Or you just, your mind is somewhere else? Come on, come on. I've flown all the way here from Europe, from London, to answer your question. You want me to come back again, you got to ask a lot of questions. Otherwise, I think, well, they don't need me here because they have no questions. You want me to come regularly to Mauritius, you have to ask a lot of questions. Okay. How did I come to meet Prabhupada? All right. This is something I'm often asked. Well, you may be surprised to hear my story. It's different than what you hear from most people, how they met Prabhupada. My story is quite different, so I'll tell you my story. Before I begin my story, I will point out there are two types of presences of the spiritual master. There is Vani and Vapu. Vapu is his physical presence, and Vani is his vibrational presence, his teachings. Okay. So, I was praying to God. I had studied the Bible, and I was praying to God that I could become a perfect devotee like Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. So I was praying to God that you please guide me how I can become your perfect servant. So after praying this way for some time, Krishna sent one of his devotees to my city, Austin, Texas. And he taught me how to do that. His name was His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami. He taught me how to do that. Of course, I was resisted a little bit in the beginning, but due to my material condition. But by associating with the devotees, I realized that this was a wonderful thing. And one day, they were playing. This is how I met Prabhupada. One day, we were playing that. It had just been released by Apple Records, that Radha Krishna Temple album. You know that Govinda Mari Purusham, we pray for the play for the greeting of the deities. Do you know the song that comes after that on the recording? Garvastakam. Samsaradava nalalita loka trinayakar yunaganaganadvam. It's very beautiful. So that was the second song in the album. So I was vacuuming the temple room rug and I was hearing that song. All devotees have been trying to convince me to surrender, but I was holding back. No, no, I will not submit. I'll just be a devotee of Krishna, but I won't become a disciple of Prabhupada. But when I heard that song, I could hear in the devotees' voices the expression of their heartfelt love for Prabhupada. And that love for the spiritual master, that love for Srila Prabhupada was so sweet. It was so wonderful. I'd never experienced such a love ever in my life as the love the devotees had for Prabhupada. And then I just was swept away by that love. And I said, wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Prabhupada? So I hadn't met him yet. But Prabhupada entered my heart at that minute, you see. I truly met Prabhupada at that very instant because Prabhupada entered my heart as my eternal spiritual master. And I've been associating with him ever since. That wonderful moment in the spring of 1971. Prabhupada, of course, I met him face to face. I had many personal instructions from him, and they're all very nice. But none of that would have happened if Prabhupada had not entered my heart that wonderful morning when I was vacuuming the temple room rug, you see. So that's how I met him.
Which temple?
Huh?
Which temple? In Texas? Which temple?
We had a small preaching center, 2906 Dancy Street in Austin, Texas, founded by His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami Maharaj under Prabhupada's order. So that's how I met Prabhupada. He entered my heart. Through the mercy of his devotees who were expressing their love for Prabhupada, Prabhupada entered through the medium of their loving expression into my heart. And the people say, well, how much association did you get with Prabhupada? Well, how many years since I got initiated, since I met him that moment? I've been associating with Prabhupada for 38 years, constantly. You see. So, of course, later on I had many... Prabhupada was very merciful. He traveled all over the world, so we could all have personal contact with him. And he answered so many thousands of letters also from his disciples. So there are many more things, but it all began there by realizing that there would be nothing more beautiful than to give my life to Prabhupada. Any other questions? Nothing else? Yes.
Initially, we are all very pure when we learn. Initially, the soul was pure. And then half gets contaminated when first in
this case. It's pure and...
How it happens to become contaminated?
Yes. Yeah. Krishna is Svarad. He is completely independent. And we are part and parcel of Krishna. Just like a drop of water of ocean water has the same chemical composition of the ocean itself, you see. The living entity also has a certain quantity of independence because he is part and parcel of Krishna. Now let me ask you this question. Independence means... you can do the right thing or the wrong thing, right? If it's impossible to do the wrong thing, you don't have independence. You understand? Independence means you must have the potential to do the wrong thing. So because Krishna is independent, we are independent. And because we are independent, we have the potential to do the wrong thing. So out of millions and billions of living entities who have the potential to do the wrong thing, there is some possibility and probability that some of them will in fact do the wrong thing. You understand? If you say it's not possible, that means there is no independence. The possibility of misusing independence has to exist, otherwise independence does not exist. So as soon as we misuse that independence, that is our pollution of consciousness. From the very second that independence is misused, That is our pollution of consciousness. So, Krishna is very kind. Some people say, well, why God didn't arrange it in such a way that we wouldn't fall down? That means they're trying to blame God that they fell down. This is Krishna's fault that I fell down. That mentality of blaming Krishna is why they're in the material world to begin with. We have to be careful we don't try to blame Krishna for our fallen condition. Well, it's God's fault. No, it's our fault. Because we misused our independence. You understand? Is everybody clear on this point? Yeah. What's he saying?
When his child is born.
A child is born carrying the karma from his previous lifetime. He is relatively innocent compared to what he'll be when he's an adult. But he's not completely innocent. He's carrying with him a certain degree of karma from his previous birth. Therefore he's not, that's why some children are born with birth defects. They're suffering a reaction from previous lifetime. Or they're born into a family where the parents abused them. That's because they were abusive parents in a previous lifetime. And now their kids took birth as their parents to get back with them, get even with them. So we're all, every child has a certain karma from his previous lifetime, except if one is born as a pure devotee, you see. We all are born with a certain amount of, but relatively compared to our adult life, the children are seen as very innocent. That doesn't mean they're completely innocent. They're not completely. They are partially contaminated by their previous lifetime. That's why it's very important for the parents to create a very strong spiritual atmosphere, so that child gets purified in this previous karma. That's why the mother who is bearing a baby in her womb, she should constantly be chanting and singing and playing devotional music on a CD player. So the child is getting that vibration constantly. The child is in there. It's like Prahlad was enlightened by Sukadeva also. They were enlightened while within the womb. So the mother and the father should make all nice kirtans in the home, and the child is there. As soon as the pregnancy begins, wonderful kirtans every day in the home, just nice kirtans. So that child is getting all that Shabda Brahma. You see, that will help purify him of his previous karma. He'll come out much better from the womb. Because God burns, those kirtans will burn off some of his previous karma. There's a whole science in the Vedic culture how to give birth to a child that he can become a pure devotee of Krishna. And once he comes out, engage the child in Krishna consciousness. Don't think they're kids, just let them run and play. Have the kids sit like these children now are sitting and hearing the philosophy. If these children sit and hear the philosophy, as little children, they'll become great philosophers. They don't need to go run and play here and there. They can play some other time. But when there's a Bhagavatam class, Gita class, the children should all be sitting and hearing. And that way, they'll become great philosophers. We saw in our Austin Center one three-year-old boy. He was quoting Shastra, not like a parrot in the little recitals they do of the kiddies at the Rajanashtami. No, he was preaching, giving philosophical points, and backing it up with Shastric evidence. It's the age of three. Just because his parents engaged him in hearing the classes, very. Every class, the child will be there in the lap of the father, hearing the lecture. So it's very powerful, this process for purifying the children, making them pure devotees. We just have to give them a perfect Krishna conscious atmosphere, you see, where they have all facility to become fixed in Krishna bhakti from the very birth, even before the birth. Any other questions? Yes.
to practice Krishna consciousness when you are in Krishna Vyashta, at times is difficult.
When you practice it?
Practice Krishna consciousness in Grihastha.
Yeah.
At times it appears difficult.
It's difficult.
Yes, and sometimes you have to do a lot.
Brahmacharis also have difficulty.
Yeah.
Everyone has difficulty. Okay, go ahead.
Can you share your experience a little on that so that we can be better Grihastha Krishna consciousness?
Way to be, don't think about being a better grihastha. That's putting a limit. Think about becoming a perfect grihastha.
Yes, this is
it. You got to shoot for the ideal thing. Think, let me be a little bit better grihastha. You know? No. You should think, let me become a perfect grihastha like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you see. He was successful in his job. He was so successful, the British didn't want to let go of him. I mean, he was so valuable employee. He was the most valuable employee of the British government. They gave him all honor, good salary, everything. He was the most respected, honored employee of the British government. And he had 12 kids. And he did all that wonderful Vaishnava preaching, the Namahat, traveling preaching he did in the villages. He'd take leave from his work from time to time and go off on Namahat preaching. He did all the wonderful writings, you know, books, songs, all these wonderful songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and so many essays. I mean, he's just an incredible pure devotee. So, don't think of being a better grihastha. That's limiting yourself. You think about becoming a pure devotee, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's what you should meditate on. And then you'll definitely become a better... You may not become a pure devotee overnight, but if you're thinking of the highest possible goal, you'll advance much quicker. And you become much better, much faster. If you think, let me pray to Guru and Krishna that I can become a completely, spotlessly pure devotee. You see. Don't think, well, I'm grihastha, so I cannot. No. Everyone is meant to become a pure devotee. Every ashram is meant for becoming a pure devotee. That is Krishna consciousness movement. Any other question?
What is ego?
It means identity. The Mayavadis, they say ego is bad. You must stamp it out. You see? Obliterate your ego. Merge into Brahman. The Mayavadis give the example of a drop of water merging into the ocean. But what happens to that water that merges, it comes from the land and merges into the ocean? Do you know what happens to it? By the power of the sun, it evaporates and comes back to the earth again, the land again. So, that is confirmed. Patanti Yadho, Bhagavatam says, those who merge into impersonal Brahman, they come back again to material existence. So if you just try to obliterate your ego, you may go on with a false conception of thinking, now I am egoless. But that's an illusion. Just see the absurdity. Now I am egoless. That's your ego. That's why Bhagavatam says the state of ego loss is vimukta maninas. It is liberation in the mind only. There's no such thing as ego loss. It's just an illusion. Yes, now I have lost my ego. That's nonsense. You can't lose your ego. So the real perfection is you perfect your ego. Instead of killing the false ego, you purify it and transform it into the real ego, that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And that is called the real ego. I am this body, I am the Lord of all I survey, I am the center of the universe. This is false ego. But real ego is, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Ego means I. That sense of I-ness, that is ego. We don't kill that ego, we perfect the ego. So our time has run out now. We thank you all very much. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.